This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Presented by your Baltimore area Jiffy Lube locations. Joining us right now, courtesy of the Window Nation Guest Hotline, he is Steve Molesky. What's up, Steve?
What's up, Rob?
So I went to the game yesterday, me and my son. We sat in the bleachers, not in the bleachers, in the stands, watched the game, enjoyed the game, had some food, some popcorn.
Free baseball night in the first inning.
And it was, how about that? It was so bad. At one point, Steve, I just laughed. That's all I could do. I could just laugh, and laughing kept the crying away.
Well, you know, Rob, it's been a rough year for the Orioles. I don't have to tell you that. You know, in three of the last four home games, two against Cincinnati and last night, there were boo birds. There weren't that many last night, really, considering how bad it got. You almost would have understood more. But there were some boo birds out, so the locals are stirred up over the team, and they just can't – they just seem incapable of building momentum. It's amazing to me. We're this deep into the season, and they have one – two-game winning streak, that's one. Yeah. And they have one series win, that's one. They played nine series.
Yeah. It's remarkable. And you didn't hear a lot of boo birds because I saw a ton of pinstripe jerseys in that stadium last night.
Well, that's true.
Right behind home plate. Right behind home plate. I don't know who gave those tickets up. There were like seven Yankee fans in Yankees home jersey sitting there. It was a terrible look. How do you feel about this whole, aside from the, you know, last night's game, I don't even know how to phrase this. It's so bad. The frustration is. How do you feel about Gibson being acquired, forgetting last night's outing?
Well, let's give him more time and see, but he clearly didn't look ready last night. So that their desperation with the rotation maybe forced him to push that faster than he should have been there. And so maybe, I mean, we're really stretching for something to feel good about here. Maybe these last few innings he settled in a little bit, but I mean, you just can't give four home runs in the first inning. I mean, it's almost never seen in Major League Baseball. So you know, this team's ERA is over six now, but no, it's like 5.50, which is a season high for the team. It's over six, I think, for the rotation, and they're just, you can't overcome that. The 27 Yankees couldn't overcome that.
Hey, Steve, as far as like looking at the rotation and the direction they're going in, we all said that I still want to see Kyle Gibson throw another game. I don't need to see Charlie Morton anymore because I don't think that's getting any better anytime soon. Can they weather this storm to kind of get somewhere in May where they start to get some of these pieces back and still make a run, or is it getting late early?
It's both could be true, okay. Jeremy, and they really do need to hold around 500 if they can, and they're really not. I mean, they're six or seven back now. If they can somehow get within sniffing distance of 500 and try to stay there for a while, that might be the max for this team right now with all the injuries. But you're right. That's the hope, is get some guys back, get Eflin, get Kittredge, get Gibson going well, maybe Brandon Young makes a return, and try to somehow piece this thing together, because the daunting part of it is there's no solution. Teams don't make big trades in April or May usually. There's no one out there to sign. You know, there's no one walking through that door to save the day. There's no top 100 prospect on the way, on the pitching side. So the reinforcements are probably going to have to come from the injured list.
Here with Steve Molesky joining us, talking some Orioles baseball. Steve, tonight, Kay Pulvich is on the mound. He really had one horrible start, and that was at home, his last home start against Cincinnati, giving up seven earned runs and three in the third innings. Now, you can go back to his other Kansas City start where he pitched six innings, but even in that, he gave up 12 hits. His last outing against The Nats, one Gunnar Henderson error away from going seven innings, giving up only one earned run. What are your expectations from him?
Man, he needs to do that tonight, because as bad as last night was, if, big if here, they win a series against the Yankees, that'll be a step in the right direction. Then they can catch their breath for a day, and let's see if they can get two in a row. So I think it's a big game. They're all big, you know, when you're starting to bury yourself in the standings already. And so Slim Povich has to get it done tonight, and if he can model that last one, it'll be very welcome, because the Yankees, man, they're going to be swinging from the heels tonight.
Sure will. Steve, the Yankees are 18-12, obviously put a beat down on the Orioles, but to me they're not a very impressive 18-12 team. They just don't look as good as the National League teams. Do you think the American League is kind of wide open this year? Because the National League seems like they've got, they're very top heavy. They've got some really, like five or six really good teams, and I don't see it in the American League.
I agree with you, Ed. I think you've nailed it. 18-12, yeah, that's a pretty good record, but the Yankees lineup, the second half of it, after you get through the big guns at the top, really falls off. Their rotation's been better than the Orioles, but not by too much. They've already demoted their closer. So, I mean, they're kind of a bit of a mess for a first-place team, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
they're not the Yankees we're used to seeing roll in here and just look like, you know, a really, really good team. I mean, they're probably going to be that, and they might be the best of the East right now, but they just don't look like they're rolling on all cylinders, which is another reason the Orioles have to try to get this game.
Hey, Steve, as you look at, you know, what they have coming back, I mean, we've heard a bit of a timetable. We listened to Grayson say he really doesn't have one. Are you expecting, like, again, Bradish, things look good, Kittredge, things are looking good. Is it middle of this month that we start to see these guys, or is it the timetable still not there?
Well, I mean, Eflin and Kittredge, Eflin, I think, is throwing a bullpen, so, I mean, we're still weeks at best, but Kittredge is probably closer.
Okay.
And, you know, McDermott and Rogers are pitching. Neither one has pitched well yet, but at least that's a little bit of depth that should at least be a triple-A within a couple weeks. So they're slowly getting a little bit back, but it's just not a difference maker. You know, as people are criticizing Mike Elias for the offseason and what did or didn't happen, you know, maybe looking back, for years, the Oriole fans may go that Crochet was the guy they should have got, and they didn't. Now, we don't know what was offered. Would you have had to give up Jackson Holliday? Would you have had to give up Masaya? Would you have had to give up Mayo? Would you have had to give up two of them? You know, what was in that deal that the Orioles didn't make and Boston did? Because Crochet is a difference maker right now. Will he stay healthy? There's a question mark on that, and we're only a month into this thing. But right now, that looks like a big acquisition for Boston.
Steve Molesky. Steve, tell us about your Substack and what you're doing on social media right now for baseball.
Thanks, Rob. Yeah, I'm writing on Substack this year, which I got my own little corner of the world and a bigger website app space, so to speak. And so fans can find me at steveonbaseball.substack.com. And, you know, I've got a lot of articles. I've got videos. Started a podcast. I'll be having the great Peter Schmuck on there tomorrow. He and I will talk about his nearly 50-year career in sports writing and covering a lot of baseball. And so a lot going on. SteveOnBaseball.substack.com. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks a lot, Steve Molesky. Appreciate
you.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Jim Duquette joins us at 9 o'clock, but on the other side, Ed, who gets your shovel?
Oh, I'm going to give it to a team that is trying very hard not to win in this playoff run.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057. The Fan. Shovels next.
The Big Bad Shovel of Wisdom. Sponsored by Jerry's Toyota, with exclusive benefits including 4 years of free service maintenance or 50,000 miles. Jerry's Toyota, just north of the Beltway on Bel Air Road, and online at jerrystoyota.com. Sports Radio 105.7, The Fan.
Time to give out shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Ed Norris, who gets your shovel?
I'm going to give it to teams that are just, they can't close out. That's
boom.
one of this is my team. The Maple Leafs are doing this in hockey. They just couldn't put away the Senators. This is getting ridiculous. They get shut out last night. Now the series is 3-2. They should have just closed the series out. They're just a much better team. But for me, it's the New York Knicks. Brunson goes, four for 16. They played sloppy. They played without energy. Many people say, you know, because I try to, you know, temper my fandom with what other people are saying. What I'm reading is people believe they have five of the six most talented players on the floor in this series, and they're just giving it away. They're keeping the Pistons alive, and now they're facing, you know, the game six, I guess, you know, you end up having a game seven to decide this series when it should be over and done with already. And it's just really, it's frustrating when you see teams that are talented. Let's see, with the Orioles, just they can't get it done. And, you know, you wonder how lower seeds end up winning in these playoff tournaments, but it's going on, in my opinion, both hockey and basketball.
Jeremy Kahn, who gets your shovel?
Yeah, that bitch that tried to cut me off. For the life of me, I can't get this. So we're in traffic, and you have somebody that's clearly trying to move faster than everyone else. You're in bumper-to-bumper traffic. I had a woman that tried to jerk her car in front of me in the bumper-to-bumper traffic. Like, if you'd have put your signal on and told me you need to get over, I'd have slowed down and let you over. We're in effing traffic. A couple more cars ain't going to make a difference. This woman tried to cut me off, realized she couldn't, got up next to me, and gave me the finger. The middle one, Ed. Ugh. And I'm just like, and then flies around, drives in the off the damn road into the lane to the, you know, the side, drives around people. And this same person got all the way over four lanes just to cut all the way back over four in traffic to get off two exits later. Like, literally, if you'd have stayed in your lane, you would have been there at the same exact time, lady. And it's just something you see on the road every day. I still, for the life of me, this morning driving in, far left-hand lane, guy going 45 miles an hour. Every car behind him, going around him. He's impeding traffic. Not your road, it's everybody's road, you jackass. But I don't get people now, especially the ones that are willing to cut you off, flip over four lanes and then cut back, giving you the finger because you didn't allow them to be a jackass. So F them.
My shovel goes to John Halliburton. He's Tyrese Halliburton's father. After the game, after they win, beating the Milwaukee Bucks, he comes on the floor and he approaches the player, Giannis. And he gets all in his face, and Giannis is looking at him like he's saying, "You little man, move on." Now, Giannis had some issues with somebody else after the game as well, but I think this was kind of the fire that started it all. You don't come down on the floor. Number one, you're embarrassing your son. Seriously. You're an embarrassment. Your son's got to face him again, you know? Well, he's going to have to face him again. And all you're doing, it's like the pitcher who hits the batter, who goes after the batter, and he doesn't have to get in the batter's box.
Yeah, one of his teammates is going to get hit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you're doing. You're going out there, going after Giannis, not realizing that your son's got to face him next year. Wherever Giannis is playing next year, trust me, he's going after Halliburton. Mm-hmm. He's going to light him on fire. Well, Halliburton's, and your boy's soft.
Yeah,
he ain't going to do nothing about it.
I showed
you
soft. The other part that was kind of weird with, I think it was Benny Mathurin.
That's what I said, yeah.
Yeah, so he and Giannis, it looks like they're hugging, saying goodbye or whatever, you know, hey, good luck next round, whatever it is. And Giannis has his hand behind his head on his neck, right? Like he's pulling him in, almost like he's hugging him. And then out of nowhere, they start shoving each other. So I don't know what was said, but... there's no love lost between the Bucks and Pacers. The Pacers have kind of owned them the past 3 years.
Yeah. So, you know, come on. It's bad when you got to tell your dad to grow up. Grow up, Dad.
Ja's got to do it too, but he ain't grown up yet.
Let's go out to Chris in New Jersey. What's up, Chris?
What's up, Rod? Jeremy, Kamish. How you doing?
Good. Well, all right.
Rob, since you guys brought it up, man, my shovel's going to go to Shannon Sharp.
Okay.
The reason my shovel's going to go to Shannon Sharp is because no matter what happens, nothing good can come from a relationship between a 19-year-old and a 56-year-old.
Nothing.
Especially with,
unless it's your daughter, your niece, your somebody along that line. Nothing.
I don't care what you signed or what she signed. She's an OnlyFans model and a fitness influencer. Why can't you just get with somebody your own age? Especially from one of my all-time favorite Ravens tight ends. Who, I mean, I was a teenager when he was playing in the Ravens.
So dude, he doesn't even have to find somebody his own age. He can find someone 20 years younger than him, and she's still 35. That's a grown ass woman now.
His girl was a teenager a few years ago.
You get 35, now you got a grown ass woman. 19 years, she's a teenager. She could probably be just dumb.
No matter what happens, public perception is not going to be on his side.
It's not. I said it before, I'll say it again. I didn't like 19-year-old girls when I was 19. I don't mess with them in my 50s. Come on, man.
I ain't saying nothing just in case something happens on the line and I find myself a 19-year-old and Miss Katie's no longer with me. I ain't saying nothing. I mean, I plan to be on with Miss Katie forever.
She might not plan to be with you forever.
You know? You gotta
make sure y'all got the same plans.
That ain't my quan.
Let's go to Antonio and Rose there. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good.
Good. The Orioles played so bad, I don't even have a question. Can we just talk? How's your morning going?
Better now.
You're going better now, Antonio. Yeah. Thanks for asking, man.
Well, Kyle,
how's your morning? No. Oh, how's your morning going? How's your morning going?
It's going good.
That's good.
You working today?
Yes.
Right. This kid just works nonstop.
You ought to learn from him. What else is on your mind?
Will Kyle Gibson even get added to even get an opportunity to start? And you guys have a wonderful day.
You too.
Yeah.
If not him, who?
Yeah. Of course.
If not him, I don't even want to ask a question. Let's just talk.
I texted the guys last night that it made me want Charlie Morton back. I almost sent the text after he gave up another one. Was like, now I kind of want Yovani Gallardo back after watching that hot mess. Jeez.
Let's go to Parkville and get Jeff. What's up, Jeff?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, man.
I have a question. Has Grayson Rodriguez become Hunter Harvey 2.0?
And how? And with the injuries?
Yes.
Well, you know what? I'll say this. I don't know, Jeff, but I wouldn't mind becoming Hunter Harvey 2.0 because Hunter Harvey in D.C. had ERAs of 2.52 and 2.82, albeit in the bullpen. But he did. Right now, he has an ERA of 0 for the Kansas City Royals. So bad with being Hunter Harvey 2.0. He has a major league ERA of 3.21 and 167 appearances. No starts. But to answer the question, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think Grayson is. I mean, Hunter Harvey had a lot of talent and ended up being a bullpen arm. And we see this all the time, like failed starters that become successful bullpen arms, and maybe it just fits you better. But like with Hunter Harvey, that's where he was going to be the whole time. He just couldn't stay healthy. And even with the Nats, he went there, he had a little success, and still, like, injury problems.
Yeah, still injury problems.
With Grayson, if all you're going to say is injury problems, I get you. Like, he's often hurt, whatever. But I still like the makeup there, and there's a big difference. Like, I feel like the ceiling is way higher with Grayson than it was with Harvey.
I think so. No doubt about that. We're going to talk with Jim Duquette at 9 o'clock, but on the other side, UNC, that's North Carolina, reportedly worried about Bill Belichick's girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, and her influence on the program. Chuckle over there. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Well done.
Yes, sir. Now, Jeremy, you've been watching this. You saw something on television where they asked Bill Belichick how he met Jordan Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
And Jordan Hudson said, "We're not telling that story."
Yeah, from the back. She's sitting in the off to the side.
From the back.
She shouted from the back of the room.
Oh, I thought he.
No, not yet. But like when she's yelling from the back of the room, like, "We're not talking about that." And then she storms off the, if you want to call it a set where they're interviewing him, and she thought Belichick was going to follow her, and he didn't. So now, like, the story is that people at UNC are worried about, does she have too much influence over Bill Belichick? And, you know, like, the fact that you don't want to tell us, do you guys not get together and just say, hey, if anybody asks how we met, we just say at a party, at an amusement park, at a bus stop? Like, it doesn't, just make some nonsense up.
Why would you have to make it up?
Well, yeah, why'd you have to make it? Like,
because there's something else going on. The reason,
oh, you mean those two?
Yes.
I thought you were asking Ed and I.
No,
we do that.
I'm saying those two. Like, just make up a story about how you met. Yeah. So you're not dealing with this nonsense.
What did they mean, at a glory hole? I mean, how bad could it be?
I don't know. She couldn't tell it was his voice on the other side. Maybe he just says, "I'm a world William. Champion." Bill,
I'm William.
William Belichick.
William B.
But when you look at the situation and the way it sounds, it does sound like, and people have alluded to this, of her being a high-end escort, and that's how they met, and she just got the goose that lays the golden eggs.
And she's calling the defensive plays this year.
Yeah, so she set up the Whopper package. So
you think she could be a problem?
I don't know. I mean, all women are. Oh, sorry. Did I say that out loud? No.
I thought you said last segment that you wanted you and Katie to stay together.
She's on the Eastern Shore. Her nurse friends better not say anything. No, of course they are. I'll tell her when she gets home. But no, like the point is, like, you know, if this is true, what's being alleged about this girl, like, if you don't want that getting out or you're trying to keep it under wraps, why can't you just say you met at a party? Like, oh, whose party? Oh, it was a friend of mine. You don't know him. He goes to another school. Like, whatever. Just make it up.
That's what I always say. She goes to another school. You don't know her. And you think she could be a big problem?
100%. 100%.
Can a woman be a problem, man?
I mean, you're asking me if a woman
could be a problem. this particular woman. but here's the issue, though.
Is that a serious question?
I'm gonna have a heart attack.
Well, when you ignore the warning signs,
we all ignore them. We go colorblind when there's a red flag. We think it means go.
Here's the biggest issue.
I mean, the fact that she had the balls to walk up the set to yelling at one of the winningest coaches in NFL history. She yells in the background, "We're not talking about that." Boom, and she leaves, and he's sitting there like a schmuck. Like, yeah, this could be a big problem. And if I was a player at UNC or a booster, I'd be like, uh-oh.
She's got to go. Like,
uh-oh.
But here's a big issue, and I think everybody is listening right now has either been in this situation or seen a friend in this situation. If you have a specific lifestyle and you find yourself dating with someone who's not used to that specific lifestyle, she may know nothing about football, the college football lifestyle, the coaching lifestyle. She may know nothing about it. And it's tough when you're dating and with somebody who not only does not know about it, but doesn't respect it. So what I saw, Jeremy, was someone who was totally clueless. She may know who he is, but she seems clueless to his lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the biggest issue may come.
I still can't get over the women thing with Ed. I feel like it's like my cousin Vinny when he's up there and he's, "I'm done with this guy." And Ed's like, "I'm done with this broad. I'm done with this broad." No, but like, again, and saying all the jokes aside, like dating a young girl like that, a guy that's in a position of power, getting paid a ton of money, like, yeah, I think she could become a problem if the attitude, like, it wasn't a good showing from her when he's being interviewed. We're not talking about that. Like, okay.
And that's what I mean by not understanding. You don't understand what's going on right now. You can't do that right now.
As far as just being interviewed, like even saying something, like if somebody goes up to her and talks to her after a game and she says something that, like, hey, you're not supposed to say that. But I don't know,
that's
man.
A problem. East Baltimore, Billy. Billy. Hey.
What's up, fellas? Man, no, you know I had to jump in on this crazy topic, man. Now, why Bill Belichick dealing with this at the wherever he sit at to watch TV and sitting there watching the Shannon Sharp situation?
Well, I guess he started before Shannon Sharp, probably. He's been with this girl for a little bit now.
Yeah. She say like she a nice girl, but at the end of the day, the age gap could play a factor in the long term relationship, man. I'm trying to tell you.
I mean, dude's out on the beach doing the surfboard thing with her. He's got his feet, or she's like Superman. You know, you play that with your kids, put your kids on your feet, and you hold them up, pretend like they're Superman.
Yes.
He's doing that on the beach with his young girlfriend. So, I mean, look, if he's having the time of his life, he ain't got anything else to prove. I'm not faulting
him.
What?
You got to prove he can win in North Carolina.
Man, he ain't got to prove anything there.
I guarantee he feels he does.
He might.
That's why he's there. He feels he does. he needs this without Brady. He needs to validate himself. You know how guys like that are. You may not care. Hold I on. Might not care, but he cares.
He like again, winning at North Carolina is not validating yourself.
He may feel it is.
What, winning the ACC? Man, take that nonsense out of here and take your 20-some-year-old girlfriend and go out somewhere and have a good time.
Let me ask you this. Why do you think he's doing it?
It's the same thing. It's the same reason why athletes can't walk away. And a lot of times you tell them they're supposed to. This is all he knows. This is what he does. This is what he's good at. And it's really hard to give up something that you think you're good at that you can't do anymore. It's just, it's incredibly difficult. And more times than not, people are told they have to leave instead of leaving on their own.
Yeah, because when his skills erode, I don't know if his have, but when your skills erode, it's hard to accept that. That's why you see, particularly you see this in boxing. You'll see it in other sports, like, you know, running backs that, you know, limping on the field, just don't have it, and quarterback. Boxers, though, particularly, they just never know when to hang them up, man.
Yep.
And they end up just, you know, well, being
Is it the rags, the riches, and then back to rags type thing, and then you're trying to hang on to the lifestyle you were living?
I think in a lot of cases, they're trying to also prove that they still have it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about with Bill. He's trying to, I still got it. I can go to college now and do
it. Well, maybe, look, winning at UNC may prove that to himself.
Yeah.
I don't think it changes who, like, if he wins, let's say he won the national championship at UNC, I think we'd all go, well, hell, I ain't see that coming.
No.
You know?
I agree with you. But how many boxers do you, in your mind, is their legacy cemented, but they keep going?
Man, in the MMA, I went from watching Tony Ferguson be a guy that, like, hey, no, ain't nobody beating him, to everybody beat him.
What about what's the guy from Brazil? Anderson Silva.
Yeah,
he's another one.
They're hanging on in boxing.
No one could beat Anderson Silva, and then Anderson Silva could beat no one. It went from the he could have just stepped away. I don't think Anderson Silva's that. Who is this wheeling clothes up the road?
What in the hell? Huh? I gotta get up for
Someone's got a dressing room style clothing rack that they're pushing up the street here on Clogview.
It's
a truck burglar.
Am I right? Yes, it is. Was this not worth a squirrel, Jeremy?
They better hope a bus full of young Mexican girls coming here ready for their quinceañera, because that's what they're selling out there, is these like 16-year-old dresses.
You think I'm kidding? That's what if you go around Manhattan in the 30s in the garment district, you'll see guys pushing those racks. Half the time, they're truck burglars. They stole
it. That's a second rack.
But you know what?
It's a second rack.
It makes sense there. It doesn't make sense on Clarkview.
Not on Clarkview, man.
ain't no traffic out here. Just driving by to buy that nonsense.
Maybe it's on today's CrossFit schedule.
Oh, my God.
Jim Duquette joins us at 9 o'clock, but on the other side, what impact did George Kittle's contract extension have
on
Mark Andrews and the Ravens? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. So Jeremy and I did some investigative reporting. Evidently, there's a Photoshop here, a photographer, I should say. It's called Thousand Word Photos.
And they were moving from one building on this street to another one, and they're just doing it themselves by pushing these racks.
It was odd because when they got out there, the lady's rack fell.
Yeah, so Rob used his hands and I used my hands, and we got that poor lady's rack and got it,
heavy.
It back up.
It's a heavy rack.
Yeah, and we probably could have used you. But they were, it's kind of, we walk out and the rack had completely fallen over, so we helped them get that thing back up. And she's
about to take each item off one by one. I'm like, no, you don't have to do that. Jeremy and I just lifted it up with the item still on the rack.
But Ed, I had the bottom part and I couldn't find the hole. Like, my arms were shaking and I just couldn't find it. So Rob helped me. He guided me.
He's never been there before.
Rob guided me into the hole.
That's great.
Thanks, Rob.
I would say anytime, but they were nice women, though.
I give Rob such a hard time with the squirrel moments, because by God, does he have more squirrel moments than any person you've ever met in your life. You could be in deep conversation about something serious, and Rob go, is she wearing a shirt? Like, what? What do you mean? Yeah, she's wearing a shirt. It didn't look like it.
It's the same color as the skin.
And then we'll go back to what we were talking about, and by that point in time, my dumbass has forgotten what we were talking about. So now we're both at a loss.
But today was a good squirrel moment.
Yeah.
It got you out of your chair and outside.
You don't see two women just pushing racks up some random-ass street that has no traffic.
None.
And no customers.
So she explained that her photo lab is moving.
And the best part was when we went out there, Mix 106.5 and 101.9 were watching us. They were like, what were you guys doing out there? So we wanted to know the same damn thing you did. Why are they out here? So I had to go ask them.
So in NFL, George Kittle signs a new contract. On paper, looks like he's going to make $20 million a year. But nah, about 10 million, 40 million. What's 76.4 million guaranteed over 4 years. No, $76.4 million over 4 years. 40 of it is guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
What impact, Ed, do you think this has on the Ravens and Mark Andrews?
Honestly, I don't know, because let's see how he, you know, how productive he was. He had a good year, but not a great year. And I think it's going to be a prove-it season for him, you know, coming to the end of his contract. We'll see.
I think you asked the wrong question, though. He ain't having any impact on Mark Andrews here. He's going to have an impact on what Isaiah Likely gets.
Isaiah Likely?
Yeah. That's true, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I believe. And Likely's your guy moving forward. I think it's going to be, look, this is going to be a fun year, kind of realizing that the writing's more than likely on the wall for Mark Andrews, depending on what the salary cap goes up.
I like what you
to.
Did there, more than likely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Oh, see, you didn't even realize it. Well, Mark Andrews, per volume, did not have a great year, but he did have 11 touchdowns, the most touchdowns he's had since 19. But by your standards, Ed, he hasn't had a great year since 2022.
Yeah.
When he had 73 receptions for 847 yards. In 2023, he only had 544. So by the standards that you're going by, which I get, he hadn't had a great year in a couple of years.
No, he hasn't. I mean, he's had good years, and he's for a long time before we had any talent on this team as far as receiving. He was, you know, Lamar's go-to, his comfort blanket, whatever you want to call him. But he was, and now he's having okay years. And interesting enough, it's wild because he's 2 years younger than Kittle. So it's not like he's older and he's – Kittle will get paid, but he's still – he also has the benefit of being the best blocking tight end in the league. So, he's crazy. He can catch, and he loves to, run people over. So it's a different animal altogether.
You know, he's such a weird guy from a fantasy standpoint, because I always feel like a lot of his offensive production comes – like, he'll play 17 games, and all of the offensive production, or most of it, will come from, like, seven of those games. Like, he has really big games, and then he has games where he does absolutely nothing but block the entire time.
But here's the difference in Kerry Kittle.
And by the way, he got more targets last year because of all the injuries to the wide receivers.
He's gone over 1,000 yards 4 times in his career. We talk about Andrews not having a good year or a great year in 2 years. Kittle's worst year in the last 4 years is 60 receptions, 765 yards, and 11 touchdowns. They're not the same.
Mm.
It's not. I mean, the last 4 years, 910 yards, 71 receptions, 60 receptions, 765, 65 receptions. As a tight end, he averaged 16 yards a reception. Tight ends don't get those kind of numbers. He only had 65 receptions for 1,000 yards. And then last year, 78 receptions for 1,100 yards, still averaging 14 yards a reception. I love Mark Andrews, but they're not the same.
Well, I mean, you're saying they're not the same because Kittle's better?
I think so. I think the blocking stat, like Ed said, I think Kittle can do everything in a receiving game that Mark Andrews can.
But I think
he's a phenomenal. He blocks like a lineman.
See, I think Andrews is a far better receiver than Kittle.
Definitely a better receiver. Yeah.
I think you're getting paid for what you're doing catching the ball. Kittle's such a well-rounded player, and he means so much to that 49ers team. But again, like, I think you'd have to look at it, too. Two of those years that we'd be talking about, Lamar got hurt, right, with Mark Andrews over the past five.
But what are you saying that makes him a better receiver? The man's had 88, 85, this is 71, and a run-heavy offense as well.
It is run-heavy, but it's not as run-heavy as this offense. They're passing the ball more, and if you look over the past couple years, they've been throwing a lot more in the fourth quarter as well. I mean, once they got Purdy, and I think last year, if you're looking at his numbers, remember, their healthiest wide receiver got shot in August for most of the year last year. They had no wide receiver.
But he's always put up numbers.
But the numbers haven't, like, you're giving me 700 yards for a tight end. That's great when you start to put it in with Debo getting this and Christian McCaffrey getting this and that. He's put up touchdowns. He's one of those guys that, again, he compiles. I don't want to say compiles. That's unfair to him. He has big games that make the numbers look better throughout the year. But his averages, when you look at those big, like, what was it, Monday Night Football last year? Didn't he have 3 touchdowns in the one game?
Yeah, he had his year of 88 receptions, averaging 16 yards a reception.
Nobody's saying he's bad. That's phenomenal. Mark Andrews is a better receiver than him, and I'm saying that after he dropped the easiest 2-point conversion in the history of conversion.
Take that conversion drop aside, even before then, for everything that he brings, I go with Kittle. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Daily Line at 9:30, but on the other side, we're talking baseball. with our resident GM, Jim Duquette, on the Fan.